Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is November 15th, Thursday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C. I'm a little tired this evening, folks, but I am with you just barely, so you will bear with me. Had a rather rough night last night, didn't sleep too well, but I am alive, which is more than a lot of people can say, particularly more than 3,000 Americans who've been butchered in the Middle East by our president and his good friends who got us involved in this insane war, this insane war for Israel that need not and should not be fought. Well, I don't have any guests here with me this evening, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm going to run through a few little news items that were of interest to me and may presumably be of interest to you. Should mention, though, that I was down at the American Free Press office today. Paper goes to press every Thursday, as you know, and as usual, lots of good stories in there. The lead story this week is by Mark Glenn. You know who Mark Glenn is if you're a regular listener to this. And the headline on that story is New Cold War Isolates America. The description of the story on the front page says America's imperialist foreign policy has isolated this country in a new Cold War amid a potential alliance between Russia and Iran. Russian President Vladimir Putin is emerging as the world's white knight, the only man who can stop the Zionist-driven expansion of the New World Order. And this article that's being described here by the editors of American Free Press refers to the article by Mark Glenn in this issue, and it is a very, very interesting article. Now, you know, folks, I can hear some people out there saying, ooh, Russia and Iran. They're saying, ooh, that means the communists are backing Iran against the United States. No, folks, that isn't what that means. Russia is not the old communist empire that it used to be. The former KGB official who is now the leader of Russia is not some sort of evil red hiding behind a bush or hiding under a bed or in a closet getting ready to jump out and say boo to our beloved American quote-unquote capitalist system. No, and this article by Mark Glenn makes it very, very clear that basically the United States is finding itself isolated with one country standing beside it, the state of Israel, which, of course, is totally dependent upon the United States for foreign aid, for all that money that props that little country up. Well, in any case, Mark Glenn has a fascinating article on this subject in this issue of American Free Press. Pat Shannon has a very interesting story about the release of George Wallace's, and I might say alleged assassin or attempted assassin, Arthur Bremer. There's much more to that story of what happened to George Wallace back in 1972, and Pat Shannon has encapsulated it quite well in this issue of American Free Press. Another story by Pat Shannon talks about the recent raid by federal agents on the headquarters of the Liberty Dollar in Evansville, Indiana. Bernard von Nothaus, his warehouse was raided by the IRS and federal agents, the IRS and the FBI. All of their assets have been seized. You're probably familiar with this. NorFed is Bernard's company. Quite a story. That's in this issue of American Free Press. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, some more commentary, and then eventually, if you have some phone calls, we'll actually go to the phone, or at least try to. You know how I tend to talk.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had 2 mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. Well, Washington Post today has an editorial attacking Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. You know, Chavez is very controversial. I happen to like Chavez myself, and for that reason, a lot of my Venezuelan friends are mad at me. But I perceive Chavez, although I might not necessarily like a lot of his domestic policies, if I lived in Venezuela, I recognize the fact that, at least in my perception, Hugo Chavez is very much a nationalist who's standing in the way of the New World Order, that is, a global Jewish imperium, in the spirit, certainly, of what we know of as the legendary protocols of the learned elders of Zion. But in any case, Hugo Chavez is seizing the reins of power more so than ever down there in Venezuela. And that's upsetting to a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. The domestic people of Venezuela, the natives of Venezuela, they have their own concerns about it, but of course, our friends in occupied Palestine, specifically in that city known as Tel Aviv, and their agents and assets in place here in the Bush administration have entirely different concerns that have absolutely nothing to do with human rights or civil liberties or the free market or freedom of speech or any other thing that might be of concern to the people of Venezuela. So while the people of Venezuela who don't like Hugo Chavez may find common cause with our friends in Tel Aviv and in New York and Beverly Hills and Palm Beach. The fact is that there are differences of opinion there. In any case, the Washington Post, in their editorial entitled, it's entitled Mr. Chavez's Coup, they say it's encouraging that so many of its people, that is the people of Venezuela, aren't prepared to give up their freedom without a fight. Now, isn't it interesting that the Washington Post would have this opinion about people who don't want to give up their freedom without a fight? You know, there are so many good patriots around this country who don't want to give up their freedom, and they are prepared to fight to keep their freedom against the very forces that control the Washington Post, for example. And yet the Washington Post and other establishment newspapers make fun of or attack or demean or otherwise ignore America's patriots who don't want to give up their freedom without a fight. And the reason for that, of course, folks, is the fact that those who control the Washington Post are part of the problem in this country. Those who control the Washington Post, who are they, folks? Everybody knows, quote-unquote, that it's the Meyer-Graham family. But actually, if you start digging deeper, folks, you'll find Warren Buffett in there. He's supposed to be one of the richest men in America, but he's a good pal of Lord Rothschild, which might explain to you why this fellow from the hinterlands, a fellow from Nebraska, of all places, is one of the richest men in America. He's a Rothschild satellite, ladies and gentlemen, Warren Buffett. Yeah, he's a Rothschild man here on American soil, as there are many others. And he is one of the key owners of the Washington Post. But that's not one of the things that gets reported. The Washington Post is very much a part of those who misrule in America, those who reign supreme. Speaking of those who reign supreme, I finally gotten around to doing my story, which I've been talking about, an attempt at an in-depth analysis of Vanity Fair's recent list of what they call the new establishment. They do it every year, and I've been planning to do one, an analysis, that is, of this list every year, and I finally got around to it this year, and it's published in American Free Press in this issue, which went to the printer today. There's all 100 names. Actually, there's 106 names on the list, but in 100 slots of the 100 most powerful people in America, more or less, the new establishment. And as I mentioned on the show before, to the best of my research, I could say that persons known to be Jewish occupy 53% of the power positions. But then if you start looking, and the entire list may be incomplete, there may be a few people who are Jewish who I couldn't identify as Jewish, but the bottom line of it is that most of the people who then remain on the list who are not Jewish are people in industries, such as the perfume industry or the luggage industry or the fashion industry of one form or another, people in these industries that are totally dependent on garment manufacturing, on department store distribution, or the advertising industry, all of which are dominated exclusively by Jewish families and financial interests. So as the American Free Press headline puts it this week, who really rules America? Vanity Fair's top 100 seems to confirm age-old canards about quote-unquote Jewish power. And, of course, even the Jerusalem Post has heralded publication of the list, saying that quote-unquote Jewish power dominates at the Vanity Fair list. Found one or two errors in my story, which, of course, you know, it's always going to happen that way. I have somebody listed accidentally as being Jewish who I don't believe he is, but other people have told me they think that he is. Not that it really matters, folks, in terms of the numbers, because when Vanity Fair speaks, people in the establishment do listen, and it's really a lot of braggadocio here saying, guess who runs America? Ha, ha, ha. Speaking of that dread word, Jew, I'm looking at Washington Jewish Week this week. And there's a headline in there, folks, and I want to read this headline to you. It says, Jews push for tougher anti-Iran sanctions. Now, this is written by the Jewish Telegraph Agency and published in Washington Jewish Week. Now, Washington Jewish Week is not a pro-Hitler publication. I just want to emphasize that. It's not an anti-Semitic publication. It's not an anti-Jewish publication. It's not an anti-Israel publication. So just so you know that I'm not quoting Nazi literature here. The headline says, Jews push for tougher anti-Iran sanctions. Now, if Mike Piper came on this program and just said that, the Jews are pushing for tougher anti-Iran sanctions, or simply said, Jews push for tougher anti-Iran sanctions, people would say, oh, there goes that Piper again. Why is he always talking about those Jews? Not all Jews are pushing for tougher anti-Iran sanctions. Only the Zionists are doing that, but all Jews aren't Zionists. And, you know, not all Jews in America agree with tougher anti-Iran sanctions. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Okay, yes, 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 you're right. You're absolutely right. However, I'm quoting to you now. I'm quoting to you now from Washington Jewish Week. Jews push for tougher anti-Iran sanctions. My question is, why is Washington Jewish Week allowed to say that, but Mike Piper isn't? The article says, American Jewish groups are aggressively attempting to rally support for isolating Iran until it ends its suspected nuclear weapons program. They are lobbying Congress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Malcolm Honlein, the executive vice chair of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, is warning that Iran is close to acquiring the knowledge it needs. Officials at the Anti-Defamation League have launched a campaign in support of tougher sanctions. Also, the American Jewish Committee has been meeting with foreign leaders, including French President Nicolas Sarkozy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, folks, who is pushing for tougher anti-Iran sanctions? According to the Washington Jewish Week, they put it in one succinct word, Jews. Jews push for tougher anti-Iran sanctions. That's, you have some complaints about it, take it to Washington Jewish Week. Well, speaking of Jewish, Katie Couric, it turns out, CBS Katie Couric, turns out that her mother is Jewish. She grew up Jewish but converted to Presbyterianism when she married John Couric. I don't watch much of the evening news, but I'm going to shock the Anti-Defamation League, as I occasionally like to do, by mentioning that Katie Couric and I have some mutual friends. Ooh. Ooh. Good Lord. That ought to give the Anti-Defamation League something to research. Yes. Yes, I have some mutual friends of Katie Couric, but we've never met. Interesting, huh? Well, kind of funny. There's this group, Christians United for Israel, run by this big toad John Hagee down there in Texas. Well, the executive director is David Brog. Sounds like Grog. Or Trog. That old horror film starring, I believe, Joan Crawford and some being that rose out of the sea. But in any case, David Brog is executive director of Christians United for Israel. Well, David Brog is Jewish. But he's executive director of Christians United for Israel. Now, that to me means, folks, that this guy who is not a Christian, he's executive director. That means he's running the shop. Who's driving this bus, ladies and gentlemen? Read Vanity Fair, or if you want an analysis of Vanity Fair, read my article in the November 26th issue of American Free Press. Then you'll find out who's driving this bus. Right over a cliff, I might add. Stay tuned for more. We've got some callers. We'll get to them eventually.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. You know, reflecting on this matter of Katie Couric, you know, I can, you know, I'll tell you, our conventional politically correct person would say, if they listen to Michael Collins Piper here tonight on this program, just say you're conventional American, just somehow happens to get on the internet. They just happen to come to republicbroadcasting.org and they hear Mike Piper saying, well, Katie Couric's mother is Jewish. Well, the average person, folks, you have to put yourself in the context of the average person. They hear Mike Piper saying that and they say, well, what does it matter that Katie Couric's mother is Jewish? You know, well, why does it matter what anybody's religion is? You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you have to keep in mind, folks, this is how the average mind works. Well, I'm just here quoting from American Jewish Week of November 15th, 2007. They're the ones who are obsessed with the fact that Katie Couric is Jewish. Now, of course, putting it in a bigger political, and then, of course, then they can say, people, the politically correct folks will say, oh, well, they're just very proud to have one of their own in a position as anchor of CBS Evening News. But you see, here's where Michael Collins Piper and many, many of the listeners out there who agree with my thinking on this, or who are, I should say, in tune with my thinking on this, my consideration here, why I think that's significant, is probably the same reason that Washington Jewish Week thinks it's significant. in the fact that while Washington Jewish Week is bragging about the fact that, as they headline it, Couric's mom was Jewish, they're very proud of the fact that one of their own has reached a position of power. But as I've written about and talked about on this program, and as so many of you have talked about on this program, there could be a problem here, because if you have one single group, particularly one with a hardline agenda, and that is what you find with the American Jewish community as an organized entity, as a virtual whole, ladies and gentlemen, when you find a group with an aggressive public stance, and again, I'm using the term aggressive, quoting directly from Washington Jewish Week and talking about, as they say, Jews pushing for tougher anti-Iran sanctions, when you find an aggressive group aggressively pushing an agenda, and that group has an immense amount of power disproportionate to other groups in the country, that's where there's a problem, you see. You don't find Italian-Americans or Croatian-Americans or Chinese-Americans or Japanese-Americans or Laotian-Americans or Syrian-Americans or, God forgive me, or Armenian-Americans or Slovenian-Americans. I mean, the list could go on and on. I don't see them pushing aggressively, in the words of Washington Jewish Week, for sanctions against Iran. But you see, this is the problem. We're just supposed to pretend. We're supposed to pretend that the Jewish lobby and that the Jewish people, as an organized community in this country, are just exercising their right to lobby. Yes, indeed, they are exercising their right to lobby, but they have an immense amount of power and an immense amount of money to back up their lobbying, folks. And if you don't believe me, check out Vanity Fair. Check out Vanity Fair magazine, ladies and gentlemen. And now there are the politically correct out there who will say, well, that's just the opinion of one magazine. Folks, you and I know better than that. You and I know that these politically correct and often silly responses to discussions of this topic absolutely mean nothing. But the fact is, those who come up with these politically correct responses, even including a lot of people we would otherwise rank as fellow patriots, the fact is that it is an issue that cannot not be addressed. It must be addressed. And it's an issue that has a direct impact on the course of America's future. As I said earlier, I said, who's driving this bus? Who's driving this bus over the cliff? Well, the fact is that the reason why this bus is going over the cliff is because the mass media in America is complicit in this. The people who own the mass media, as Vanity Fair pretty much makes clear, the people who own the mass media are the establishment in this country. They are the people who choose our leaders. They are the people who decide who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. They are the rulers of America, folks. And so, to bring it full circle, there was a point to all this, folks, to bring it full circle, it is significant that Katie Couric is Jewish, because not only is she working for a corporation which has been, from its inception, owned by a powerful Jewish family, the Sarnoff family and their associates, but she herself was born to a Jewish mother, and don't tell me that that isn't relevant here, folks. No, we do have a very, very difficult situation in this country, folks. Can you imagine if more than 50% of the people in positions of influence in the new establishment in America were Muslim? Can you imagine how the response would be if, as in the famous film Network, you know, Howard Beale, the character in the film, was all upset about Arabs buying control of his network, something that could never happen. Contrary to what some other broadcasters have said, the Arabs don't control Hollywood. They don't control the mass media in America. Folks, guess who does? To borrow a word used in a headline from Washington Jewish Week, referring to those who are pushing for tougher Iran sanctions. It's the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We may actually get around to some phone calls here when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper, returning to you. How could I miss this? I had this marked to bring to your attention. I know this is going to be of intense interest, and I'm not being facetious to a lot of people. And it's of intense interest to me for a variety of reasons, which may be different from your reasons. But the article is in this week's issue of Washington Jewish Week, but it's from, again, the Jewish Telegraph Agency, which means it's being circulated in Jewish newspapers all over. The headline in Washington Jewish Week says, Paul, referring to Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, Paul gets some Jewish support. They open up by telling the story of Jim Perry, who is the gentleman, apparently of Jewish descent, who is the executive director of the group Jews for Ron Paul, which we talked about here in this program. And I know some people were very upset that there was a group called Jews for Ron Paul because, well, because some people were afraid that that meant his campaign had been taken over. Well, I don't think that necessarily means that. But it's interesting. Again, this goes to show you how our friends, the Jewish Telegraph Agency, think. They say Paul's candidacy was dismissed early on due to his support from white supremacist, libertarian, and other fringe groups. But they say the campaign has begun to pick up steam on college campuses and on the internet, in part due to his, Ron Paul's, staunch anti-war stance. But that's very, very interesting. You see, those poor libertarians that want to do everything they can to disassociate themselves from the evil racists and supremacists, et cetera, they're lumped right in there, white supremacist, comma, libertarian, and other fringe groups. So you see, you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't. Well, the article goes on to say organized Jewish support, notice that term, organized Jewish support for Ron Paul's Republican presidential bid is nearly non-existent. The Republican Jewish Coalition pointedly did not invite him to participate in its candidates forum. Anyway, it goes on to say that Ron Paul has a loyal, albeit small, Jewish following. There is apparently even a group called Zionists for Ron Paul, launched by Yehuda HaKohen, an American immigrant to Israel, and some of his friends back in the United States. This article in Washington Jewish Week from the Jewish Telegraph Agency says some of Paul's Jewish supporters believe that it would be best for Israel if the United States kept out of Jerusalem's affairs. That's interesting. Some also believe that American aid to Israel is dangerous because it feeds the perception that Jews wield too much influence over U.S. foreign policy. Mr. HaKohen, Yehuda HaKohen, says, many of us believe the current relationship between the United States and Israel is a very unhealthy relationship, like that of a man and concubine, or a slave and master. Okay, well, in any case, they cite a recent statement Ron Paul has issued on Israel. He says, I support free trade and friendship with all nations, meaning that my administration would treat Israel as a friend and trading partner. Americans would be encouraged to travel to and trade with Israel. Well, I would have to disagree with that myself, because it seems to me that treating Israel as a friend and a trading partner would not do much to solve the issue of the Palestinian problem, the mistreatment of the Christians, Christian and Muslim Palestinians, by the Israelis, both, you know, both within the West Bank itself, and certainly those who are pinned into Gaza, and even the Christians and Muslims living within the ranks of Israel as we know it today. So I would have to say that I would say that Ron Paul is being a little too friendly. I think he's trying to be too nice here, folks, but that's just my opinion. He says, Ron Paul's quoted statement, our foreign military aid to Israel is actually more like corporate welfare to the U.S. military-industrial complex, as Israel is forced to purchase only U.S. products with the assistance. He says, we send almost twice as much aid to other countries in the Middle East, which only ensures increased militarization and a drive toward war. Well, you know, you can take a position one way or another in regard to that. He goes on to say, we have adopted a foreign policy that has left Israel surrounded by militaristic nations while undermining Israel's sovereignty by demanding that its foreign and defense policies be essentially pre-approved in Washington. That is a bad deal for Israel, as sovereign nations must determine on their own what is the most appropriate national defense. Well, I would have to disagree with Ron Paul on that, because on the first part, because I don't think that Washington has control over Israel's sovereignty. I think that Israel has control over American sovereignty. So although I understand what Ron Paul is trying to convey here, maybe playing Mr. Nice Guy, I have to say that I don't agree with his presentation of it. He says that this situation is a bad deal for Israel, as sovereign nations must determine on their own what is the most appropriate national defense. Well, in that regard, I do agree with Ron Paul, because I think that America should be sovereign. We should be sovereign from Israeli control, and we shouldn't have Israel and its defenders and assets on American soil directing the course of American foreign policy. So while I understand where Ron Paul is coming from here in issuing this statement, I would have to agree with the, or I should say, I would have to disagree with some of the underlying themes of what he's saying here. But again, I understand what Ron Paul is trying to do, and he wants to sound like a nice fellow who isn't going to say anything too much, too bad about Israel. But of course, you know, the fact is Ron Paul in the past has written some things in his newsletter and elsewhere that our friends in Israel and their friends here on American soil really don't care for. But, you know, here's something that Mr. HaCohen, the American-turned-Israeli, head of Zionist for Ron Paul, said. He says, "I've never been excited in my life by an American politician. I never heard an American politician speak the language he's speaking. He's avoided nothing and answered honestly. That's why a lot of young people, liberals, college students back him. I'm sure a lot of Arabs support him. If you have Zionists, Muslims, and white supremacists supporting him, he's someone who really resonates with people." Well, folks, yeah, I think that's an interesting comment. As I say, Ron Paul could probably present his positions regarding Israel in a different way. Or let me put it this way. I wish he'd present them in a different way. But what I think would just about get Ron Paul a cup of coffee if I had the money to lend to him. So what my opinion is in this matter is largely irrelevant. Ron Paul is the candidate, and this may well be what Ron Paul believes. And some of you may not think that Ron Paul is going far enough. Well, the problem is, folks, I don't know if there's really any politician that does go far enough. Any politician that does go in one direction or another that somehow seems to cause distress for, as the Washington Jewish Week put it, Jews, those kind of politicians get in trouble. Good example is the fellow Archibald Maul Ramsey, whose book, The Nameless War, I've recommended to you. It's on Daryl Bradford Smith's website, IamTheWitness.com. I was looking at my own library last night, ladies and gentlemen. I have a very lengthy, very interesting, very detailed biography of Archibald Maul Ramsey, former member of the British Parliament, very aristocratic gentleman, the author of the book The Nameless War. And then I have yet another book on the political affairs of Britain and the activities of Mr. Ramsey. And it's kind of interesting to note that Mr. Ramsey, of course, was a staunch British patriot who did not believe that going to war against Adolf Hitler was in Britain's interests any more than America First patriots such as Charles Lindbergh and Senator Robert La Follette Jr. and General Robert Wood and a host of other Americans like John F. Kennedy and even Gerald Ford, who was a member of the America First Committee. These people all said there was no reason for the United States to go to war against Hitler, just as Mr. Ramsey said there was no reason to go to war against Hitler. And, you know, they even, if you look into Mr. Ramsey's background, this British aristocrat apparently would also might be called a white separatist or white supremacist or racial nationalist, of the type that I know a lot of you out there don't like the white nationalists or the racial separatists. Some people call them white racists. Some people call them other names not so nice. But evidently, Mr. Ramsey would have been kind of comparable, I suppose, to someone like David Duke in this country, who's been called him. David's been called everything, but I'll tell you what, David is a traditional American, but there are some people who like him and some people who don't, but this is Archibald Maul Ramsey probably would best be compared to David Duke because of his views on racial issues and maintenance of cultural integrity, and also for his criticisms of Jewish power. And in this case, it was precisely Jewish power he was talking about. He wasn't talking about Zionism and the Zionist state of Israel, because, of course, Israel didn't exist in this time frame in the 1930s and 1940s when Ramsey was writing. And Ramsey was made a political prisoner. Ramsey was a former public official who was made into a political prisoner because of his opposition to American to British policy vis-a-vis the international Jewish interests, the international banking houses, just like David Duke, a former American public official, was made into a political prisoner on trumped-up charges, just like Jim Trafficant, of course, was made into political prisoner on trumped-up charges. So that is the price you pay for being politically outspoken, particularly when you are in a position of influence, an elected office, very much in the public eye, as David Duke was in Louisiana, as Archibald Maul Ramsey was in Britain. And, of course, Ramsey was not the only person made a political prisoner in Britain because of his views. And, you know, it's funny, the Barnes Review magazine published right here in America. I'm on the contributing board of advisors there. The Barnes Review is the kind of publication that Archibald Maul Ramsey would be contributing to today, because it's a publication that dares to discuss these issues that nobody else wants to discuss, but issues that do need to be discussed. Well, I'm rambling here, folks, and, you know, we've got quite a few callers lined up. We're going to have room for a few of them. I think we've got a caller calling in from Canada. Jack. Jack, come on up.
Hi, Bert. Hello.
Hello, Jack. How are you this evening?
Yeah, good evening. I think that on Tuesday you read an essay or an article concerning the SS of Germany. Recall that?
Well, if you can refresh my memory, I may have.
It's about Anne Frank.
Oh, right, Anne Frank, correct,
yeah. Well, just for the record, you know, because a lot of especially young listeners in the United States are not too versatile in history. Now, SS was the armed fist of the German Übermensch, and the atrocities they committed throughout Europe, and especially in Central Europe, and not just with respect to the treatment of Jews, but other nations as well. They are very well remembered in Poland, in Czech Republic, in Slovakia, in Russia. This is not for nothing that they were put in charge of concentration camps. They were the guys for the
job.
Well,
actually, you know, Jack, if my memory serves me correctly, and I don't pretend to be an expert on World War II history, there are two different SSs when we're talking about the SS. There's a Waffen-SS, and these were the guys who were volunteers from all over Europe. They weren't just from Germany. These people were volunteers from all over Europe who joined with the SS of the Germans to fight against Bolshevism throughout Europe. They were anti-communist volunteers. They even had, a lot of people don't know this, but there were black Africans from the Arab countries who joined an SS
division. Well,
that fight
with Bolshevism didn't go very well. Please remember that you know, until 1941, they were very friendly with the Bolsheviks, and they participated in extinguishing the Poles, you know, for 2 years. Not many people know in the United States that the concentration camp in Auschwitz was established first for the Poles, when the Germans were exterminating Polish intelligentsia and anybody who could take any leading role there. They were collaborating with NKVD, etc. Well, if you wanted to hear on that side of the divide...
Well, kind of interesting. You talk about the German extermination of Polish intelligentsia.
Correct.
My understanding, Jack, though, is that the Polish intelligentsia, at the, like the Catan massacre and the military officers...
Right, well,
so
this
forth,
is, if you let me finish, you know, they were collaborating... you know, on both sides of
Jack,
the...
Jack, I tell you, Jack, could you hold on? We are going... Jack, listen, Jack, I'm trying to help you out here. We're going to a break. So if you want to hang on for the break, please do. Okay? We have a commercial coming up. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper. We are going to break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Jack from Canada, who doesn't like the SS. A lot of people don't like the SS.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10. $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have, I hope, still Jack aboard from Canada. Jack was commenting on an article I had read about the death of Anne Frank, and Jack obviously has some concerns about the SS, yes, and what happened to the people of Poland. Yeah, poor Poland, country caught in the middle of the squabbles of Europe, divided up, central to the whole World War II battlefield. They really gave Poland a raw deal. Wouldn't you agree, Jack?
Look, this is. I just wanted to straighten up the thing with the SS, because they came out from this story as people to whom you would go if you are hungry and cold in winter.
The SS was guarding those concentration camps.
Correct, and for a good reason. They were the guys for the job. They were totally committed to the cause, so to speak, and they truly believed they were the Übermensch, the Superman. This word in English does not explain. They were simply racist to the extreme.
Well, you know, I tell you, so I don't really find much difference.
The principle of the of their attack on Eastern Europe, you know, and to subdue those people, openly they had the plans, and these are not the documents which cannot be found. These are documents which have been found, and they are accessible. They had the plans to exterminate the majority of the Poles and other nations. They were not many people.
Jack, are you Polish?
Pardon?
Are you Polish, Jack?
Obviously, I'm Polish. Not many people, but I don't want to talk just about Poles here, because there are millions upon millions of people in that region of the world, apart from the Jews, because those Jews who were there, most of them didn't survive, so there are not many of them around.
Well, you know, a lot of historians will tell you that a lot of those Jews from that part of Poland were absorbed into what we know. Well, what at the time was the Soviet Union. So, you know, again, this is we're kind of talking apples and oranges here. We were talking about the situation as to why Anne Frank died in a concentration camp. We weren't talking about the geopolitical intrigues.
Yes, but
go ahead, Jack.
That presented a certain picture of the SS, so I wouldn't like anybody to have any doubts, about who the SS were. By the way, those were a kind of prima facie skull and bones guys. They had those skulls as the insignia.
Well, so, I tell you, we're talking
there
about...
There is a certain irony in all of this right now, this is what I wanted to say, that please don't take this kind of the article that you read, it was a straightforward propaganda to whiten out the history of that part of the world.
No, I would say quite the contrary. It was providing the other side of the news, another opinion, you see, and that's part of the problem. Over the years, what we quote-unquote know has been spoon-fed to us by a select group of people who control publishing and the mass media. And, Jack, I understand where you're coming from, but I think your parochial interest in the situation made it impossible for you to look at the bigger picture and what we were discussing there regarding Anne Frank. But, Jack, I know where you're coming from. I have Polish relatives. I know where you're coming from.